the division of love, or the division of Jesus. The division of Jesus. Now, this message is a warning given in love in the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke 12, 51 through 53, Jesus says, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Now, this has been going on since the beginning of time. Cain and Abel. Cain was divided against his brother. And why was it that Cain was divided against his brother? Because Cain did not have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when you read this scripture, Jesus says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth?" Jesus says, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth?" Jesus says, "No, but division." Now, someone could read this Bible text and take it in the wrong way and say, well, Jesus is divisive. Jesus is like humans because humans cause division. You hear what I'm saying this morning? But you see, it's not Jesus that brings division. It's the teachings of Jesus. Because you see, that is what brings division in society. The divisions of teachers, the teachings of Jesus. That is what brings division in society. Jesus says in John 14, "If you love me, obey my commandments." And so, what are the commandments of Christ? You know, they're life-giving, they're everlasting. It's in the Bible. And so today we see a society, amen, it's redefining marriage, redefining genderism, redefining what murder really is. You know, these are not political issues, these are biblical issues. And so much of the people in the pulpit today are so afraid to speak of these things because, you know, they're building their own kingdoms. They're busy about keeping people in the pews so that they can keep the church going, so to speak. It's a business. It's become a business to them. But let me just say this. Jesus brings division. The teachings of Jesus Christ bring division, not just to churches, not just to families, but to society. To every area of life. Because Jesus is the giver of life. He's the author of life. And you see, the world is going to death. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. Isn't that what the scripture says? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the word. So his word shall not fade. His word shall endure forever and ever. It's his teachings. It's who he is. It's his ministry. It's what he is about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. And in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us." It's the teachings of Jesus Christ that bring division. And so when we're not centered on Jesus Christ, then all we can experience in our life is division. Now, if you are centered rightly on Christ, you're going to get in a division, guess what? From unbelievers. You're going to experience a division from people who don't believe what Jesus says about himself, what Jesus says about the kingdom of God. You will experience that division at work. You will experience that division in your very home. You may even experience that division in your own marriage if the other spouse does not believe what Jesus says about himself, about the word of God. There will be a division there as well. And so we see it today that there's so much division. Why? Because we're not on the right Jesus. Some are, and those are, will experience that separation. I remember when I first became a Christian, a lot of these friends, so-called friends I had, were no longer my friends anymore. Why? Because I did not do what they did. And so, when you become a Christian today, you're going to be in light, not in darkness. Why? Because Christ is not in darkness. Christ is the light. And so, you're not going to be laughing at those dirty jokes anymore. You're not going to be dwelling on those evil and vile things any longer. Why? Because you're in the light of Christ now. Christ is in you. The Bible says that those who are in Christ are what? A new what? Say it. Creation. The book of Romans says that. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, I don't stand up here and judge the world. Why? Because that's God's business. But what we have to do is we have to stand on the Word of God and say, this is what God's Word says, with compassion, with love, but with a conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have to say, this is what God's Word says. And guess what? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Jesus says, division, what I'm about, it will bring division into this world. And Christian, you must be prepared to experience that division. Let's read in the Bible, Genesis 39. There was a young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was one of the youngest of all his brothers, the second to the youngest of all his brothers. And the life of Joseph is an illustration of really the ministry of Jesus Christ. Joseph was sold by his 10 brothers into slavery. Y'all know the story, amen? He was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he was taken to a land far, far away, to Egypt. And what happened with Joseph? He was taken into Potiphar's house. He was made a servant. But he was so trustworthy that he became the highest of all the servants in this great political leader's house in Egypt. And so it came one day, verse 7, Genesis 39, 7, it says, and it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me, meaning sleep with me. But Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is within me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but because you are his wife. But then how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, Joseph was a young man. The Bible says he was a handsome young man. And it caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. As a Christian, you are beautiful in the eyes of God. And let me tell you something, Christian. You'll catch the attention of the world. Understand that. I'm speaking a deep spiritual truth right now. Christian, you will catch the attention of the world. And the world, when I'm talking about the world, is representative of the Antichrist spirit, the kingdom of Satan. Jesus even says it himself, Satan is the god of this world. The Bible says it, Satan is the prince of the air. There is a place in our realm that exists that we do not understand. Look, you see the cell phone here? I can talk to anybody all over the world through this. Why? Because this stuff goes through the radio waves. It's a reality. It's a place that really exists. And Satan is in that place as well. So we have to understand that just what you see is not the only place that exists. Hear me out this morning. There is a spiritual realm that is far more real and it's eternal than the realm that you and I experience today, the physical realm, the temporary realm. So we have, as Christians, we have to begin to understand that there are some deep spiritual things that we have no idea about. And the Holy Spirit will reveal them to you through the written Word of God and in time as you grow as a Christian. But what we have to understand today is that, Christian, you have something that this world wants. And you know what? It's to destroy your faith in Christ, to destroy your relationship. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I come that you may have life and life abundantly. This devil was using Potiphar's wife to steal Joseph's faith. How many marriages are destroyed by adultery? How many lives are ruined by adultery, by murder, by all these things? How many? God is the God of restoration. God can heal. God can do anything. But God can only do what we allow God to do. And if Joseph had said, oh, this one time will be okay, God will forgive me. Really? Yes, God can forgive you, but you can set forth in motion a lot of heartache that will last for years to come. For example, King David, he committed adultery and he murdered. Yet God forgave him. But the Bible says that there was violence and strife in his house all the days of his life because of what he did. Though he was forgiven, his children began to kill each other. And so God can forgive you, Christian, for things you do. But you do have to live with the consequences. So think very carefully. Think very carefully before sinning. Think very carefully. Joseph thought very carefully. Joseph said, look at this. Genesis 39, 11 through 15. But in verse 9, Joseph says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I think a lot of Christians don't have that attitude and don't even speak that to themselves anymore. Look at verse 11, 9, I'm sorry. Look at the end of verse 9, please. Genesis 39, 9. Joseph says again, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That has to be stapled in our hearts and our minds. How can I do this wickedness against God? Everything you do is for God or against God. Everything you do will have blessing or bring curses. Oh, I don't believe in that. That sounds like witchcraft. Really? What did God tell Adam when he sinned? Cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground. Tend to your gardens. Genesis 39, 11 through 15. This is the rest of the story of Joseph. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, and when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. She lied. She lied. She lied. She lied. You know, a lot of the Christians are going to be lied against. I'm talking about as a Bible-believing Christians, they will throw lies at you. They will throw accusations at you. They will slander your name. Now, I'm not saying all Christians were perfect people. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're faced to temptation, when you're faced to sin, and you choose God, be prepared for lies to be thrown at you, for accusations to be thrown at you. And we're living in a day and age where people complain about the truth, but yet they don't want to embrace the truth. You know, they complain about the media. Oh, you can't trust the media. The news lies all the time. The news lies all the time. Yeah, but they don't want to accept truth, which is Jesus Christ. You hear what I just said? Pilate looked at Jesus right in the face as he arrested Jesus, and they were about to put the beating of his lifetime on him. Pilate looked at Jesus, you know, he's like asking, what is truth? You know, and the truth is staring him right in the face. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Guys, so many Christians today are in depression, anxiety, and such ugly things because they're not looking to Jesus. They're not accepting the Jesus of the Bible. See, we can make up our own Jesus. We can have our own interpretations of Jesus, but is it the Jesus of the Bible? Joseph knew exactly who his God was because it caused him to run away from sin. Look, Joseph was experiencing division. Division. Joseph was experiencing division. He was now about to be separated not only from sin, but also from serving in Potiphar's house. He was going to have to lose his status that he had built up so good, living in a beautiful place. Now he's going to be taken to a prison. As a Christian, sometimes it happens that way. Why me, Lord? Why is this bad stuff happening to me? Stop whining. Stop whining. You keep delaying the blessing of God when you whine. I had to learn a lesson 5 years. It took me 5 years to learn a lesson. And when I finally learned that lesson, God said, good, now you can move on. I'm not kidding. Your biggest enemy is yourself. Joseph reminded himself of who his God is. And I believe we live in a day where so much in the church, people do not remind themselves of who God is. Look, let me give you this. The word of God does not change. People change. Can you agree with that? The word of God does not change. People change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God does not change. People change. People change. In Scripture, in the New Testament, there's a revelation given by Paul. It talks about the major sign that comes before the great tribulation, before the revealing of the final Antichrist, before the rapture of the church. And it's found in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, right here. Look, Paul says to the church, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." You see that? Paul says, the day of the Lord shall not come until the falling away comes first. What is the falling away? You have to first belong something to fall away from something. And in this context, what Paul is talking about is he's talking about Bible-believing Christians. He's talking about people who once knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They had fellowship with Jesus and the church. You have to belong. It's like you were once a part of this family, but because you no longer valued or loved that family, you no longer cared what was going on, and you believed that they were just all a bunch of idiots, you began to fall away from them. Anybody know anything about that? How much more with the family of God? You were saved. You were purchased by the blood of Jesus. You were once a part of this, but you began to fall away. Paul says that in the last day, that there will be a great falling away. And we see that not only in the lives of people who are Christians, but even in church doctrines, in big church denominations today. We see so many churches that are bringing in entertainment. There's nothing wrong with having drums and guitars and singing with the choir. Nothing wrong with lights and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's focused on Jesus Christ. Now, that's the problem. There's a lot of definitions of what's focused on Jesus. And it all comes to the preaching of the word of the gospel of Christ. Right here at the pulpit. Right here. You know, singing is for the Lord. It's not for you. Preaching the word of God, that's for you. What are you going to do with this word of God? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to hear it, continue, let it go in one ear and out the other? Or are you going to let the word change you? Well, remember what I said? The word does not change. People change. You could change for the better, or you can change for the worse. One day, I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, listen. Every single one of you in this room, me too, we will leave this world and we'll have to give an accounting of what we did with Jesus Christ. Did we accept Him or did we reject Him? You see, a lot of people will not accept Christ today because it brings division. And there are people that do not want to be divided from this world. You cannot love the world and God. You cannot love money and God. Isn't that what Jesus says? Jesus spoke more about money than anything else in the Bible. And yet people come into the church and say, "Oh, that's all the preacher wants is money." No. Because the preacher knows what's close to your heart. Add it up. That's your Bible study. How many times did Jesus talk about money? More than anything else, He talked about money. Why? Because that's what's so close to your heart. And in American society, and we are a fast food culture in America, and money makes the world go round and round, not Jesus. That's the way it is. And so when those type of people in that culture come into a church and they say, "Oh, that's all the preacher wants is money, 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 money." Sadly, there are a lot of churches like that. Yes, there are. But if you know that that church is teaching the truth and that church is speaking on salvation of souls and you know, the gospel commission and things like that, you know where that church is coming from when they talk about money, where that church is coming from when they talk about music, when they talk about all of these things that churches can do in the community and things like that, all of that. You know, some of us have no problem spending a big amount of money buying this and buying that, buying this. But when it comes to the supporting of their local church, add it up. In a month's time, they only give like 20, 30, 40 bucks. That's it. And to them, that's a lot of money. But then you go look at what you spend at the convenience store for the month. It was $300, $200, $300, $400. But you see, It's not about money. It's about what you believe in, what you're sowing into. See, people change. Because I know this. When I became a Christian, I started to change. Why? I started to see things the way God sees things. And you see, that's where you want to be, Christian. You want to be able to see things the way God sees things, not the way you've always saw things or interpretation of how other people see things. I began to say, Lord, what is this good? Is this good? Is this good? You know, and I began to become a giver in the church. You know, I told y'all about this last week, I believe. When I came back to the Lord in 2003, after 15 years of walking away from Him, I sat in the pews for about a couple of weeks, and I told my wife, I can't do this. I need to get up and serve. I need to do something. So I became a door greeter for 9 months. I just don't understand how people can come into a church and sit down and do nothing. I just don't understand that. I'm being honest, I cannot comprehend that. To me, that just says, you really don't understand what it means to be a servant of Christ. And people can get mad at me and judge me for that. That's fine, judge me. There's plenty of other churches you can go to. But in this place, you're going to hear what the Word of God says. Jesus said it Himself, I come to serve, not to be served. And what did Jesus say? Follow me. What did Jesus say? The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. Because God is ready to bring in a flood of people into salvation, but the church does not have workers. And that's why when you see churches like Grace Christian Center, other churches, they've been attacked and attacked and attacked. And we've lost people from ministry. You know, I think today we have like 10 people in our ministry. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Where we used to have like 25 to 30 people in our ministry at one time. 30 plus. And over the years, we've been attacked. Ain't that right, Ethan? You've been here a long time now. We've been attacked. We've been attacked. We've been attacked. And people can say, oh, it's the pastor's fault. Oh, it's these people's fault. No, no. Look, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? We need to stop getting our eyes off of each other because we're not a battle of flesh and blood. We're a battle with powers of darkness. It's Satan that's instigating wars and fights and divisiveness and gossip and slander and hurt. And we need to start fighting the good fight of faith the right way. The right way. Look, you come to this church and you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be fine. But if you come to this church, any church, and you're looking at the people, you're not going to make it. You want to know why? Because there's no perfect church. You'll just keep on church hopping, going on down the road till you visited all the churches in Alvin, all 100,000 of them. There's no perfect church, but is there a biblically correct teaching church? That's the thing. That's the thing. And the Bible-believing churches around the world, they're hurting today. They are hurting. It's even in our culture. Today, the young people of today in America, they're so picky about what kind of job they want. They believe they believe all these handouts. It's socialism that's crept into the universities and the schools. And it's socialism that's really spreading in society, American society today, where people need a handout. They expect something to be given to them. You know what I'm saying? That's the way people are in America. You know, I was just talking with Sister Ellie about this a little while ago, me and Anna were, and some of the people that she knows at jobs, that they're like, I'm not making enough money. You know, I need more money. I need this. Really? You're not willing to work two jobs, work extra hard, blood, sweat, and tears? People expect things to be given to them today. People expect to work at McDonald's and make $30 an hour. I'm not judging anybody that works at McDonald's. But look, guys, look, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, this is what I believe. The Bible preaches that the lazy sluggard does not get the worm. What does that mean? That if you're going to be lazy about things in life, you reap what you sow. If you sow blood, sweat, and tears into whatever it is, you're going to reap great from it. And what about the kingdom of God? Guys, this brings division. The Word of God has to change you. The Word of God can deliver you. The Word of God can set you free. The Word of God can build you up. The Word of God can prepare you for ministry, can propel you to throw you into ministry. The Word of God, every Christian is called into a ministry. Some way, somehow, every Christian has a ministry. Because you have the light of Jesus in you. And if you're a Christian, when is the last time you led somebody to the cross of Jesus? Or have you been so busy like everybody else in America, working, paying bills, week to week, week in, week out, hobbies, activities? When? When are we going to save souls? When are we going to raise disciples? When are we going to give God glory? I know there's nothing wrong with working and paying bills, and there's nothing wrong with having a hobby or doing this or doing that, vacation. Nothing wrong with those things, but let Jesus be the center of it all. Second Thessalonians 2:3. Look, Paul says it right there at the beginning of verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. Church, so many are being deceived in the churches today. I know so many people in Christians that have anointings and callings in their life, and they're just sitting in the pews. Bench warmers. You don't win a World Series just sitting on the bench. Today's one of the saddest days. Today, Major League Baseball season comes to an end. But for me, I have hope that if the Astros win today and the Rangers lose today, we get to win the division. At least we're getting into the playoffs. Okay, I guess not so many baseball fans here. But these baseball players, they play hurt. Yeah, I remember Michael Brantley and some of these other guys that have been on the injury reserve list for a long time. They've been dying to come back to play. You know, come on, coach, let me play. And they'll throw them into the minor leagues to get them, you know, tuned up. And now they're back and they're ready to play because they're not going to, they want to contribute their part to winning something that only a few people can win in this world. A World Series. To say you're the best at what you do in the whole world. In the whole world. Baseball's everywhere now. It's in Japan. It's in Europe. It's all in Latin America. It's in America. Baseball's big, man. I mean, y'all have no idea how big baseball has always been. America's pastime. And those players, they want to play because they want to contribute. What about the Christian who has that desire? I want to contribute. I want to help. I want to come alongside the pastor and help him. And do what we got, because we cannot do this alone. But because we're afraid that by living that way, we'll be rejected by the world, so we don't want to experience that division. I tell you what, you keep living like that, one day when you get into eternity, you're going to experience a division, all right, a separation from the Heavenly Father. Because there will be people that will say, didn't we pray in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name, Lord Jesus? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Look, whether you are watching online or anyone in this sanctuary, look, you call yourself a Christian, it's about time you start acting like a Christian. Start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if your life is only about coming to church on Sundays or every other Wednesday, a prayer service, and that's all Christian life is about, man, we are dishonoring Jesus. It's about everyday living. Following the Lord, the Master, Jesus Christ. It's about making a difference in your local churches. It's about making a difference in homes. The people that live next door to you, the people that are in the same office cubicle with you, some of them are going straight into the pits of hell. If they were to die that day, they're eternally separated from God. Does that bother you? Does that bother you? Because we're so focused on just what we got to do. The blinders are on like on the horse. Just focus on what you got to do. Don't get spooked about anything else. You're just focused on this. 1 John 2:18-19. This falling away, you have to belong to something to fall away from something. 1 John 2:18-19. And for those who are wondering, I read out of the New King James Version in this sermon. John says, little children, it is the last hour. And as if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went from us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. This is the falling away right here. This is where the Apostle John connects with 2 Thessalonians written by the Apostle Paul. They connect, the falling away. John in his old age says, they were once a part of us, but they left us. And it's because of the spirit of Antichrist. Look, there are two spirits at work. The spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. And you will surrender to only one of those. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, because you're lukewarm, because you're neither hot or cold, I will reject you, I will spit you out of my mouth. You're either for Jesus or you're against Jesus. That's just the way it is. I didn't make the rule. I didn't write the book. Now, the devil hopes you lie. The devil hopes you cheat. The devil hopes you give up. The devil hopes you rob God. The devil hopes you hate. Look, Jesus is about drawing people to him. And Jesus is also about driving people out. You remember when Jesus went into the temple and he saw the money changers' tables and all of that? What did Jesus do? He drove them out. And he was angry, a holy, righteous anger. He says, my house shall be a house of prayer. He drove them out. But he also knows how to draw in. When he told Noah to build the ark, Noah built the ark. And what did Noah do? Noah said, come on, elephants, let's go. Come on, giraffes. Oh, my goodness. Noah's like, son, help me get this giraffe. He's not working with me today. It's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that Noah stood at the door of the ark and God drew the animals in. God knows how to draw in and God knows how to drive out. And let me just tell you this, because God knows the heart of every human being on the face of the earth. Let me just say something that may sit unwell, but I'm going to say it. Only God can do this. But at this moment, there is a great sifting going through the churches worldwide, and God is driving out. And only God can do that. No preacher can do that. Only God. He is driving out what does not belong. Because he's about to come for his bride, the church, pure, no sin. I believe that with all my heart. And so that's why your heart is being convicted right now, because it's the Holy Spirit who's speaking to you and say, you know what? I need to get this right with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not too young and you're not too old. You know, how can you rob God? The devil hopes you rob God. How do you rob God? Well, look in the book of Malachi. What the Lord says to the Jewish people, you are robbing me. You've turned my house into a den of thieves and robbers. In Malachi, they were robbing him of the tithes and the offerings. Oh, but tithes and offerings are Old Testament. Okay, but when Jesus comes, Jesus used the same terminology. You've turned my house into a den of thieves and robbers. You're making money. You're profiting the word of God here. Jesus tied it all back because Malachi was the last book written before Jesus comes. And Jesus connects it all together. And Jesus is saying, it's not about money, but it's about the money because your heart's about the money. And so that's why I said, you know, give with the right heart. You know, I had a preacher that once tell me, he goes, you know, man, because people are never going to understand what we're talking about here. He goes, they're just not. He goes, but you can tell when a person's not right by them, when they don't show up to the prayer meetings and when they're not a cheerful giver, you can just tell right there and then. And it's true. 16 years as a senior pastor, I've seen this because I've even felt that in my life. I remember one time when I was an associate pastor, I got a good bonus check. And, you know, my tithe was $800. And I'm like, oh, man, I could use this for other stuff. You know, hey, $8,000 check, but yet $800 couldn't. And I remember I started doing this and started doing that and doing this. And the next thing you know, I had bounce checks coming. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I overspent. How in the heck did I do all this? And I could hear the Lord says, I'm going to get my tithe out of you. Now, people can say, well, you know what? That's just religious. And, you know, that's Old Testament. That's Moses' Levitical law. My heart was not right with the Lord at that time. My heart was not right. And so how can you lie? Well, that's easy. You lie to men. I mean, you lie to God, you'll easily lie to men. So if you find yourself lying, you need to say, you know what, I need to stop. Oh gosh, Lord, help us. And hate. Hate is the biggest, one of the biggest things out there. Hate. I believe that is on the rise, even within our own ranks. We're starting to hate each other. We're starting to become territorial, and we're starting to say, well, this is your church and that's my church. And you know, we don't treat each other with love anymore, with compassion anymore. Even within our own church ranks, there's no love, there's no compassion anymore. We just walk right out the door, don't say nothing. Think about it, and a husband and wife, when a husband just walks out, don't say anything, just leaves. That's hurtful, but it happens. How much more in churches where we treat each other like that? It hurts. God's not in that. One part of the body hurts, the whole body should hurt. In Matthew 7:15-20, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." You see, it's these false, yes, prophets, but let me just say this, false Christians. False Christians. They come in sheep's clothing, but they are wolves. There are false Christians within our ranks. They look like Christians, they smell like Christians, I guess however a Christian smells like, but there are false Christians in our ranks. And we need to beware. How does Jesus tell? By their fruit. You know them by their fruit. And that's why I said, you come to serve, not to be served. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved to do good things. You're only saved by the work of Jesus Christ, but you're saved to do good works. And that's honoring God in your time, your talent, and your treasure. I tell people when I see them on Mondays or Wednesdays, thank you for coming. It greatly encourages me. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through, but when we come together and we just hang out with each other, we encourage each other. And isn't that what the Christian life's all about? What have we said? Your Christian life is not about you. Your Christian life, it's about others. It's about the person to your left and to your right. Romans 16:17-20 says this. Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses." Now read this. This is where we sum it up here as we close. He says, "I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Look, I've seen this in churches so many times. Oh, well, we just need to love. We need to forgive. Yes, we do. But the Bible comes with a teaching that says, avoid certain people. Avoid people who are divisive, who are offensive, who don't care about just the whole church as a whole. Paul says it. Avoid them. Let's keep reading. Look, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ." See, Paul is making a judgment. He's saying they don't serve Jesus. Inward, they're ravenous wolves. He goes on to say, "But their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive hearts of the simple." There's a lot of simple people in the church. I've seen them. They just love. They just, you know what? We just got to love. We just got to work with each other. Yes. But we have to be careful. We have to be mindful. Would you allow a very dangerous person into your home to sit down and have dinner with you? How much more the house of God? The priests did not tend to the temple, and that's why the money changers came in, and that's why Jesus had to drive them out. Because the priests weren't doing their job. They were allowing greed and corruption to come in. Let's read verse 19. He says, "For your obedience has become known to all, and therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What is he saying? He says, be wise. Understand these things. Understand that your enemy is Satan, and God will soon defeat him. Let's read Ephesians 5, 6 through 14, the continuing of this. Paul says again in another place, Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There's a lot of people in the house of God that bring empty words, that bring divisiveness. They say they're going to do something and they don't do it. They say, oh, I love Jesus, but their actions speak totally different. You got to be careful with these people. Look, verse 17. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is even shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. God is saying, wake up. Those who are in Christ, wake up. The 10 virgins were all asleep. The Lord is saying, wake up. Wake up. God is reminding you of the light that is in you today. There are so many that have fallen asleep in the churches. There are so many that have that secret sin and they're struggling. They're sipping saints. They're drinking, and they should be being drunk off the Spirit of God and not off the spirit of the world. And it's time to make a decision about Jesus. You want to know why? Because Jesus has already made a decision about you. And the devil has already made a decision about you. But it's time that you make a decision about Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Look, Jesus will bring division into your life. He will. Why? Because he is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He is eternal. And Jesus wants to divide you, separate you from all that is going to hell. That's a loving God. That's a loving God. And if you will just choose to do things Jesus' way, know what the Bible says. Because there's more and more pastors out there today that are saying, well, the Bible doesn't mean this, and the Bible doesn't mean that, and it's contradicting and things like that. No. You know what? You need to stop listening to all these preachers. You're listening to what I said this morning, right? But you notice all these scriptures I back up with what I'm saying. But let me tell you this. You need to know the Word of God. You need to have a prayer life. You need to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen? Test what I'm saying. And know that what I'm saying is the truth because you know the truth. And then therefore, we can walk together with Jesus. Amen? That's the way it was designed to be. But division brings, Jesus brings division. So be prepared for that. Because I'm tired of this world. I'm not talking about the people. I'm just talking about the things that have been going on. I'm ready to go see Jesus. My wife and I have stored so many treasures in heaven. But at the same time, my work is not done on this earth until the Lord says so. And I will occupy. The devil will know that the Holy Spirit of God is in Michael Garcia. And the devil will be glad when Michael leaves this earth. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. The devil is glad when every spirit-filled Christian leaves this earth one at a time. But he knows his time is short and his time is coming. So guys, let the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. Be led by the Spirit of God, because those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Amen? Hey, it's time to get clean. Let the blood of Jesus wash you.